reality of the reality monitoring. And RM, reality monitoring, is a verbal lie detection tool, and its accuracy rate is around 70%, which is, I think, not bad level if you consider how difficult it is to detect lies without tools. However, practitioners don't apply the RM yet, and I think that a relevant question is whether we are ready to apply RM in the field. My answer to this question is no, and I will elaborate this answer by discussing few relevant matters. And I'm focusing on RM, but I think that many of the points that I'm going to raise are relevant also to other lie detection tools. Thank you. Yeah, I'll use the keyboard. Okay, so our first matter is the external validity of RM research. Basically, according to the approach, we expect truth tellers to provide us accounts which are rich in perceptual, contextual, emotional details, and we expect liars to provide accounts that are poor in such details. But the level of richness is also based on memory and the verbal ability of the interviewee. And if I focus on the memory, so in research lab, we usually ask the participant to provide their accounts immediately after the event occurred, when their memory is still fresh. And it's not very realistic procedure because in real life, interrogations usually take place days, weeks, or even years after the event occurred. And we see in research that, we see in research that truth tellers provide less details over time, so they probably forget some of the details. And if we talk about verbal ability, so one main target population of the application of RM is criminals. But we do our research among students, and probably criminals have lower verbal ability than students. So if truth tellers in real life have lower memory quality and lower verbal ability than the truth tellers in the research lab, so maybe RM doesn't work good as it works in the lab, or at least it is a question. Second matter is regarding the vulnerability of RM to judgmental biases, because RM coding is conducted by humans rather than machines. So it is sensitive to or influenced by the personal characteristics, attitudes, experience, etc., of the coder. And indeed we see that, for example, we found in one study that people judge the richness of the stories of others in accordance with the way they themselves used to tell stories. As a cognitive process, RM is also sensitive to cognitive biases, and we demonstrated how RM is biased, or how a primacy effect and confirmation bias exist in the RM processing, RM coding. It also, it's also sensitive to countermeasures. We know that liars use strategies in order to appear convincing. And so if we tell them, we inform them about the working of RM, they are able to countermeasure it, and they provide the same number of details as truth tellers. Third matter is regarding the decision criterion for a single case. In research, we just compare means of groups, but in real life, we have to make a decision regarding one single case. And this is very difficult to do because it's difficult to set a cutoff point because richness in detail is a relative factor. And it depends on the specific interviewee and the specific case. For example, we found that females provide rich true accounts than males. And this example indicates that we need different cutoff points for different people. And it is also reasonable to assume that we need or we expect different number of details in different cases. For example, it takes more details to describe an event that includes many activities than an event that includes just one monotonic activity, just like reading or sleeping for a long time. To sum up, research today doesn't give us enough insight to know whether RM is applicable in real life. And we know that it's sensitive to cognitive biases and to judgmental biases and to countermeasures. So this may lead us to wrong decisions, and we still don't know how to make decisions regarding a single case. So what can be done? First, I think we need to conduct more research, but to use a more realistic procedure so we can know if we can apply it or how truth tellers and liars really behave in real life, not in the lab. And we also have to test the limitations of the tool so we can know when it is appropriate to apply the RM and when we should avoid it. We have to prefer objective method of coding to decrease the judgmental biases. And in the last EAPL conference, I presented a study that showed that the frequency counts is preferable on scale weights. It's less subjective. We should develop within subject measures. This can help to decrease the influence of individual differences between the interviewees. And finally, I suggest, in order to decrease the countermeasures or the ability to countermeasure RM, to apply the verifiability approach in addition to RM, because if liars are aware that we are going to check the truthfulness of their account, so they have difficulty to provide more details as a strategy. And so I think that when we've done all this, maybe we can think about applying RM in the field. And as I said before, all I said now, I focused on RM, but I think that our direction in research has to be not just to check the validity of the tools in the lab, or when we do it, we must consider the conditions of the real life. Otherwise, we just do a self-deception, I think, because we think that the tool works, but maybe when we go to real life, it will not work. So this was my talk. Thank you.